Broadcasting from Marion Center Mall, it's time for Now with Scott Spears. This is Bob Ender with you on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you on this Wednesday, May the 27th, 2015, 1:14 coming up on 1:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we certainly want to thank our guest from hour number one, the legendary comedian Orson Bean. What fun he was today. The baloney song alone was just great, and we thank Orson for his appearance and hope to have him back on very soon. Programming note, coming up tomorrow at this time, 1:15, we'll be joined by another legend in the comedy world, Rip Taylor, will be along with us tomorrow at 1:15, so don't miss that. That's Thursday, 1:15, Rip Taylor. But the gentleman we have on during this hour, he fits in right between Rip Taylor and Orson Welles. One of my all-time favorite guests. He's been on with me a lot, and it had been a while since we'd had him on, so I wanted to get him back on. He is a pioneer in the world of comedy, still out there, getting it done, enjoying it. Since the last time we talked, he came out with an autobiography, which was great. Just one of the truly funny men. An American treasure is what I refer to him as, the great Marty Allen. Marty, how are you?
Hello there. I'll take the coffee and the orange juice.
We're starting on a good note, Marty. I like it already. Orson Bean and Rip Taylor, do you have any...
Oh, I know both of them, and they're both two very talented, wonderful entertainers.
Well, I wanted to say right off the bat that Orson was just on, and he said, tell Marty Allen I love him, he's the best.
Well, I know Orson well, and I know Rip well, and both of them are flamboyant, and both of them are talented comedians, and great entertainers.
Marty, what is there a difference between a great comedian and a great entertainer?
Well, why don't you go to Washington and find out?
You know, I never thought of it like that. We'll leave that where it is. Well, you know, Marty, I can't imagine getting up on stage, telling a joke, and hoping that the audience laughs. You've made a career of it. You're great at it. How do you know? What makes a good comedian?
Well, it's hard to tell, Scott. I started in little clubs where there might be three or four people walking in, and I just walk out and do comedy. But I guess God gave me another gift. When I walk out, they start laughing. It must have been my physical appearance, the wild, bushy hair and the bug eyes. And I'm a little bit, I'd say I share not only the comedy mentality, but the physical being, I walk out and the kids start laughing right off the bat like I'm a cartoon.
Well, let's talk about this, Marty, because this is interesting. One of your trademarks is that hair. Now, where did the idea come from to spike it up like that and just look that way?
Well, I never wanted to get a haircut. And I'd be sitting on the pony in the barber shop, and I just didn't want to have him cut it. I just loved the look of my hair, and somehow it just started to sprout out. And without my knowing, it just became one of the great trademarks in my career, along with the expression, hello there, which I picked up in the Latin Casino in Philadelphia. I blanked out one night when Steve Rossi asked me a question. I looked at him and I didn't know what to say, so I said, hello there. And he looked at me like, what? And I said, hello there. And I picked up the audience reaction. Everybody, I can pick up the audience, start laughing, and after the show was over, they all walked over and said, hello there. And you wait all your life to find a catchphrase like Joe Penner, you want to buy a duck, or Lucas, I'm a bad boy. And I just got lucky on that. That's how it all happened.
It has worked wonderfully. You know, it's interesting, Marty, you bring up the great comedy duo Alan and Rossi there. How did you guys come together, and what do you think the magic was there?
Well, Scott, I was working by myself, and I was when I started out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I started playing little clubs, and I became the local so-called hot comic, and the agent booked me in a club with the great, most sensational woman singer, Sarah Vaughan. And she took a liking to me, and she recommended me to Nat King Cole. And I started working with Nat King Cole. And then I was in Chicago with Edie Gourmet at Chez Paris in Chicago. Steve Rossi was a production singer at the Sands Hotel in Vegas. And he happened to tell Nat that he was tired of being a production singer and he wanted to do something else. And Nat says, well, Martin and Lewis is a hot comedy team and I have a comic that maybe I just have an inkling that if the two of you got together, it might work out. And Steve called me in Chicago and I said, I really didn't. I had done it a couple of times with two very wonderful guys. But I was happy just being by myself. And he kept saying, well, would you be interested in doing a team? I said, I really don't feel up to it. And he said, well, if I flew into Chicago, could we talk about it? I thought, well, if he wants to fly into Chicago, he flew in, and he was a handsome, good, really good-looking guy, and he could sing tremendous, and he kept talking to me, and I says, well, I'll tell you what. I'll write some routines, and we'll get together, and we'll play a couple of little joints and see what happens. So we start playing little joints, and I could pick off right off, Scott, the audience reacting to our comedy and the combination of Alan and Rossi. And when I felt, I said, maybe we have something. And before I knew it, I said, I'm going to give it a shot. And I called Nat King Cole. And he booked us, and we skyrocketed. We just hit right off the bat. And in those days, Scott, the singers were the main entertainer on a bill, like Nat King Cole or Tony Bennett or Shirley Bassey or Patti Page or Joe Stafford, and they always used comics to open the show and do about 20 minutes. So Steve and I became the hot comics to work with all the singers. And next thing you know, we're flying high. And that's how it all happened.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people get together and it doesn't work.
Yeah,
and you,
you're right.
What made that work? What was the magic?
I don't know. There was a certain. It just happened that he knew how to read the line. When I gave him lines and I said say this or say that, but a lot of times I walk out and physically change it all around, and somehow it worked, Scott, and everybody started laughing. And it is, that's how we had our success. And it was something that, a God-given gift, I would say, that we were able to become the number one comedy team with all the singers. And it was wonderful, and I'm still doing it, only today I'm working with my wife, Karen, who's a brilliant singer, phenomenal piano player, and a straight lady like you can't believe. And they call us the new George Burns and Gracie Allen, only I'm Gracie Allen.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that, and I've heard some of these things. It's pretty darn good. But, you know, it's interesting with comedy teams. They do come to an end. Why did you and Steve break up eventually?
Well, we broke up very amicably. I started getting calls to do movies, and I was a semi-regular on Hollywood Squares, and they wanted me with Barbara Stanwyck on her show, Big Valley, and Steve was getting different offers, and we had gone around so many times, and we had done the great, wonderful thing that happened to us. We were on with the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, and we had played the Copacabana, which was the number one nightclub in America, and we had gone around several times, and we felt the time was ripe for the two of us to part very amicably. And we parted. I think we're the only ones that ever parted on a very friendly basis. In fact, and he lived in Vegas. As you know, he passed away. But we were friends all through life. We never had any arguments and any kind of disagreements. And that's how it all happened. And I became Marty Allen on Hollywood Squares, and I did a movie in Malta, and I did a movie with Barbara Stanwyck, and I was doing different things, and Steve was doing management. He was singing, and yet we remained close friends all through life.
Absolutely. Now, I just have two more questions, then I want to get on to what you're doing now, Marty. But
yeah.
Sadly, you mentioned Steve passed away last year.
Yeah.
Let the audience in on a little thing here. I called to get your reaction that day when Steve passed away, and you were really upset that day. We didn't do any.
Oh, yeah.
Because what was that like? Because Steve was about 10 years younger than you.
Well, one never knows what's going to happen, Scott, and it just so happened that his time was up, and it hit me very hard, and I started to reminisce all the wonderful things that we had done together, and I was with him up until the very end, and I went in his room and talked to him and just reminisced a lot, and it was a very sad day in my life when he passed away. All I can say, he was a terrific straight man, and he was a fine singer, and we shared a lot of wonderful, wonderful things together. Imagine being on with the Beatles. You know, there's so many wonderful things that we had done and gone to England and appeared with Shirley Bassey, and you know, I reminisce about all those, and I wrote about it in my book. And I think of it as some of the happiest moments in my life.
So you had been called. You were there when he was about to pass away.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I was there.
Just one more question, and I always ask this when Steve was still around and you'd be on the show, because you were the greatest comic duo. It was such a great team. You guys parted amicably, which most, I think you were the only one that did, as you said. But you guys never did a reunion. Why was that?
Oh, we did do a reunion.
Oh, you did do a reunion.
We were in Atlantic City, and we had a friend that was a boss at one of the hotels, and he said, would you two get back together for a couple of sessions, and we did. We got back together, and we had a very good experience. We picked up where we had left off, and had great success with our reunion.
Perfect.
And then we went our separate ways again.
It's interesting, Marty. You've mentioned it twice here. A date that lives in people's minds is February 9th, 1964, the day the Beatles first appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah.
You were there.
I was there.
Now, for the audience, I have about a minute and 10
and
seconds.
When I walked out and said, hello there, I'm Ringo's mother, I think they got...
Well,
I think it hit him.
Well, for people, this is amazing that you were there, and I want to get your reaction. But for people who don't remember, this is Ed Sullivan's show, February the 9th, 1964, the first time the Beatles really, this is what...
Well, I'll tell you the funniest thing about the whole show. Right before the show, I went over to John Lennon, who was getting ready to go on in the next 20 minutes or so. And he was working with his guitar, and he didn't know who I was. He had no idea who I was. All he saw this guy with the wild hair, and I walk over to him, and this is a line that everybody is still hysterical over. I walked over, I said, John? He said, yes. I said, a lot of people mistake me for you. Well, he collapsed. He got so hysterical laughing, he had no idea who I was. And then we went on, and then later we talked. And I knew right off the bat they were going to be a sensation. I just had a feeling emotionally when I watched them perform. I said, this is an act that's going to sky high rise. Around the world, they're going to be the blockbusters.
Stick with...
They were, and they were very charming, and we had a lot of laughs on the time we were together. When I did that to him, he collapsed. I have a funny feeling when I meet somebody new. Like when I met Elvis Presley, I walked over, he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, you got to quit doing my act. Well, he collapsed. Anybody say that to Elvis? You got to quit doing my act? Well, he just went hysterical. But I like to do those kind of things. I get a big kick out of it.
And we get a kick out of it. Marty, stick here for a second. We've got a minute. This is February 9th, 1964, the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. So many people remember that. Here we go.
Yeah.
We'll play this here. We'll get this up. Here we go.
Our last current show with the Beatles, because these youngsters from Liverpool, England, and their conduct over here, not only as fine professional singers, but as a group of fine youngsters, will leave an imprint with everyone over here who's met them. And that goes for all of us on our show.
And here is the performance. That was the Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
You scared me, Scott. I heard I want to hold your hand. I thought it was you talking to me.
Well, you never know, Marty. You never know where this will end up. What a...
No, I'm enjoying life. I'm 93 years old, and Karen and I continue doing shows, and we enjoy life, and we enjoy entertaining, and I'm very happy in that way.
Well, you mentioned it there, Marty. 93 years old, still working. What gets you to continue? What's the drive?
I think I'm on the pill. It's just that I enjoy it, Scott. I love walking out after Karen opens the show by singing, and she's a blockbuster, and I walk out, and then we do jokes, and then we recently have changed, put up different features that we have done through my life, like with the Beatles and with Elvis, with Richard Burton and Liz Taylor, and we just enjoy it, and it's great. The response has been tremendous, and I'm just having the time of my life.
What is the secret to living?
What is the secret?
Yeah, to living to be 93 and healthy.
Well, I get up in the morning, I exercise, I have my coffee, and I take my vitamins, and then I go out and do the things I have to do and read and write and enjoy. And just enjoy, going around and wait every day because I know eventually Scott Spears is going to call me.
You know, I want to tell people, and I don't know, Marty, I don't know if you'll remember this or not. When you turned 90,
Yeah. You
came on this show.
Yes.
And we did an interview, and you know I love you, and we're doing the interview, and I start out, how do you get to be 90? And I'm asking all these, how's your health and all this? And you said one of the funniest lines in the history of this show. You said, "Do you want me to take my shirt off for this interview?" And it was, resonates with me to this day, but I think it's fantastic that you're still doing you've never had any big illness in your life, have you?
Not that I know of.
We're glad to hear it.
Yeah.
What is the creative process like, Marty? Do you write jokes? Do you write things down? How does that work?
Well, even in the middle of the night, Scott, sometimes I wake up and I say, oh, gee, this sounds funny. And I would write it down, and just if it's a joke or if it's a thing that I thought might go very well in our act, then I write a difference, and that's the way I keep going like that.
How would you say your act has changed since the 60s on the Ed Sullivan Show till today?
Well, how it changed, we do different things. We not only do routines, and we might take lines from an old routine and update it, and we update a lot of stuff, and come up with different ideas. Karen is brilliant. She'll say something, and I say, "Hey, that'll work," and then we put it in the act right off the bat. And so far, we've been lucky, in response. And then adding pictures, and the book is a big smash hit. It's called Hello There, which is the title of the book, and it has over 200 photos, and it tells different anecdotes and things and I say I've been very fortunate that I live in a time with superstars that we'll never see come our way again.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I was friends with so many wonderful people, Joan Crawford, Barbara Stanwyck, to be on the Hollywood Squares with Paul Lynn and Charlie Weaver and Rosemarie and Wally Cox. These are great, great, wonderful gifts in my life, and I enjoy thinking of all the wonderful things that happened in my life and the wonderful things that happened in the part of my show business life also. And I'm very happy, and we enjoy living, you know.
And people can get that book, MartyAllen.com, if they want to order that. You know, Marty, though, one of the most interesting things about your life, World War II, you have a Soldier's Medal of Bravery.
Yes.
What happened? Tell people that.
Well, I was on the ground crew in the 15th Air Force. We were stationed in Italy, and they were refueling an airplane, and the truck has 4,000 gallons of high-octane gasoline. And in order to put the gasoline in the plane, there's a motor on the back of the truck. And when you start the motor, the gasoline goes up to the hoses. And two guys would be up there putting the fuel in. And somehow the motor caught on fire. And the two guys that were on the wings, they jumped off. They were on their way to the Vatican. And somehow I got in the truck and pulled they had left the hoses on the wing, but I pulled the truck away and got it away and ran around and fought the flames on the back of the motor. And I made sure that none of the flames caught on to the gun turret, the cover on the front of the plane, and checked it, and then went into what they call the bomb bay, where the bombs were, made sure that nothing, no sparks or anything had caught fire. And I really don't know. I just start protecting the plane and make sure that the truck would not, if it would have been less than 4,000, like 2,000, it would have been a very different story. By the time they came with those hoses with the snow and I walked out, they couldn't believe it. They had an investigation and found what I had done. And I was awarded the Soldier's Medal for Bravery. But boy, did I catch hell from my mother. She says, I didn't expect you to do anything like that.
It always comes from somewhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, Marty, when you have an experience like that, it has to be somewhat life-changing. Does it change your life in any way?
No, it changed my pants.
I can imagine. Marty, when you have a career like yours that has spanned so many decades, has there ever been a night where you got up on stage and the crowd just wasn't with you?
Well, to be very honest, I don't remember ever having the crowd not with me.
Good.
I've been very fortunate in walking out, saying hello there and seeing the response of the audience. And then we go into our routines and we get reaction. Maybe you're thinking like maybe at the beginning of my career or
something
like that.
Was it hard? Do you have to learn stage presence? Is there something about it?
No, I guess I'm just sexy. When I walk out there, you got, oh, it's him.
Well, I talked years ago. Phyllis Diller was an avid guest.
Oh, what a wonderful lady.
Lady. She was on this.
Oh, program. I love Phyllis so much.
Well, she used to talk about how she had, that she played some clubs where she did not do very well, and she learned how to get on stage and get off and have a stance.
She was a very talented woman. I can't even imagine Phyllis ever having any problems, because to me she was one of the brilliant ones. And there have been some very brilliant women: Carol Burnett, Joan Rivers, Phyllis Diller. In fact, we did a couple layouts together, and we appeared together a couple times, and I had great love for her. I thought she was not only a brilliant comedian, but a wonderful person, a wonderful girl.
And wasn't
a wonderful person
wasn't,
to know and to love.
Wasn't there a running joke with you and Phyllis that you said she was your mother?
Oh, yeah. Well, I used to say that many years ago, Jackie Mason, Phyllis Diller had an illicit love affair, and they had a love child. I am that love child.
Who do you like, Marty? When you have to laugh yourself at a comedian, who do you like?
Well, I enjoy, when I go to see somebody, I go to be entertained and to laugh and to enjoy. And I have special friends that I go. I love Don Rickles. I think Rickles is superb. And I enjoy him. I go to see Shecky Green. I recently went to see Bob Anderson, who does the Sinatra. He does a brilliant Frank Sinatra. And, I go to enjoy people. I don't go to criticize. I don't go to steal jokes. I just go to enjoy. And I've been very fortunate in my selections.
I read that when you came back from your military service that you studied to be a journalist.
Well, no. I write a lot, and I used to write short poems and short stories. And I wanted to be a reporter. And you know why I wanted to be a reporter?
Why is that?
Because I look great in a trench coat.
Well, you know, Marty, one day we'll flip. You can host the show.
Oh, okay.
I think it would work okay. I think you could handle that.
Well, I'd love it. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, we'll do
but
that.
But I'm not changing my name. It's going to be Marty Allen. I can't go on and say, I'm Marty Spears.
Well, you know, we'll work that out in negotiations.
Okay.
I read something else. You were the first door-to-door dance salesman?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, when I was in Hollywood, I had to make extra money. I played small clubs and conventions and organizations, but I needed to make a couple bucks, and I had won all kind of dance contests. In my hometown, I was a jitterbug champion for a while. And I got an idea. I said, if I go into a very wealthy neighborhood, a high-class neighborhood, I got a phonograph machine, and I knocked at the door. And I said, I'm a dance salesman. Would you be interested in tango, rumba, samba? Ballroom, and you could be surprised how many women said they were interested. I had about 15 or 20 women that were taking dance lessons, and I was before the Fuller Brush Man.
Well, there's a great picture, if people look online, of you dancing with First Lady Betty Ford.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went with Ernie Borgnine and Tova, his wife. We went to the White House. We were invited. After the dinner was over, we walked in a ballroom, and Betty Ford says, I hear you're quite a dancer. And I said, well, Mrs. Ford, I know you're a Martha Graham dancer, and it would be my pleasure to dance with you. And I walked over to the military band leader and said, could you play an up-tempo kind of a song that Mrs. Ford and I could dance to? And he said, sure. And they played I Feel the Earth Move, Carole King, you know, I Feel the Earth Move Under Your Skin. And we started dancing, and all the guests started applauding, and President Ford said, great, great. And it was terrific.
You know, Marty.
And she was class. When I think of first ladies who I've been impressed with, Eleanor Roosevelt, and then I think of Betty Ford, not only for what she did for people, for women, you know, and the things that she got involved in. I thought she was one of the most intelligent and one of the classiest first ladies we ever had.
I think a lot of people would agree with you, Marty.
And also, when I walked over to her and said to her, Mrs. Ford, you know how many people mistake me for your husband? She collapsed.
You know, Marty, I look back at your career, and I think you've been with Betty Ford, you've been with the Beatles the night they debuted, Ed Sullivan, worked with all these great people.
I've been with Ed Sullivan. Somebody said, how many Ed Sullivan shows did you do? I said, we did more than Ed Sullivan.
You know, Marty, what was he like? He kind of gets a bad rap. What was Ed Sullivan like?
Oh, no, he was a nice man. You have to understand it isn't easy to have the number one show all those years and you know, control entertainers. And it was quite a job. I used to meet him at the restaurant called Danny's Hideaway, where all the celebrities we used to go eat after the Copacabana or after the Ed Sullivan show. And he was charming. And he liked Steve and I because he knew we would never do anything off color and we would never do anything that would embarrass him or embarrass the show, which was truly a family show in his estimation. It was true. I think millions of people, family, would sit down and just watch the Ed Sullivan show. And I found him, you know, I can't understand why anybody would say he wasn't with it. He was with it. He had his own mannerisms, and it was the way he operated his show. It must have been terrific because it was the number one show in America.
You said something interesting there, Marty. You worked clean. You've worked clean for over 60 years.
Yes.
Why is there so much profanity in comedy?
Well, it's hard to understand. You don't really need it. And it's a different ball game today, and there are a lot of them doing it. But what they want to do, if they get the reaction, That's their privilege. I don't tell someone how to do their show, but I always felt that I never had, being Marty Allen and being a bug-eyed, wild-haired, goofy-looking guy, I never had to use any profanity. I just walked out, and they start laughing. It was like a cartoon came to life. That's the answer.
Well, it's interesting because when you met these famous people, Elvis and the Beatles and Betty Ford, you always had a great line. This interview is not rehearsed. You've had great lines here. If I said, Marty, you know, pitch this show to somebody, this radio show, in a funny way, could you come up with something off the top of your head?
About your show?
Yeah, about this show you're on right now.
Well, no, because I'm not over the fact that you gave away orange juice and coffee at the beginning, and I haven't received any.
It's coming. It's coming. We'll get it delivered.
It's coming.
Yes. Yes.
Well, good. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, we're down to the last 5 minutes, so it'll get there before it's all over. Marty.
Well, I've enjoyed doing it. I enjoyed your interview, and I enjoyed that you asked the questions that pertain to entertainment, and it's been very nice. And I'll send in the money for the photo of Scott Spears.
You won't get much for it, Marty, unfortunately. When you look back, as we sum up here, when you look back at the career, what's the highlight?
What's my highlight?
Yeah.
My life. I'm living. That's the highlight. I'm enjoying. I think back, like I told you, Scott, I just think back on all the wonderful things that happened in my life. And I thank God for the wonderful gift of allowing me to enjoy those pleasures and the fact that I'm still able to go out and do a show with Karen, who is a very important part of my life.
Is there something still at this age and stage that you want to do that you have not done yet?
Yeah, I want to wait for the coffee and orange juice to come from Kroger's.
Well, you know, Marty, I've always said this. I know you do a lot of cruise ships and shows in Vegas. How do we get you to Ohio? I want to come see a Marty Allen show. You're from Pennsylvania. You'd play great here in the Midwest.
Well, I'd love to come. All they have to do is contact Karen on her cell phone, and anytime they have an idea for one of the theaters or one of the clubs or one of the casinos, we're always available. We're always busy. We were recently in Milwaukee at the Potawatomi Casino. It was fantastic. And we've been all around the country, and we enjoy going out to different cities and states and doing our show.
We've got to work on that. Marty,
Scott, as soon as you hang up, you go around, knock at the door, say, would you like to see Marty Allen and Karen Blackwell?
I'll start passing the word around because we've got to make it happen. Marty, when you look back on this, 100 years from now, long after we're all gone, how do you hope people remember you?
Oh, I don't even want to think of that. You shouldn't even say that 100 years from now. I'll probably be out doing a show somewhere.
Well, is that not that you ever should, but have you ever thought about just retirement, going somewhere, enjoying life?
Well, I enjoy life, Scott.
Yeah.
Like I told her, I enjoy doing the shows. And That what keeps me going.
Well, the book is Hello Dare. You can get it at MartyAllen.com.
Yeah, on Amazon.com.
Amazon.com as well.
And I'll tell you, I read it, and I enjoyed it very much. In fact, I've reread it several times. I said, my God, this is wonderful. I must congratulate the author.
Marty, I have to say, you know, this has been a fun day. Orson Bean in the first hour and you in the second hour. You know you're one of my favorite people.
Well, thank you, Scott. And I appreciate that.
It is a pleasure.
And I thank you for calling, and I thank you for doing a wonderful interview. And Orson Bean and... you're going to have Rip Taylor tomorrow?
Yeah, do you want me to pass anything along to Rip tomorrow?
Yeah, just tell him that I think of him quite often, have many wonderful thoughts of him, and hope he's in good health.
I started off this interview by saying the truth, and the truth is Marty Allen is a national treasure. Thank you, Marty.
Scott, thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Marty Allen, the frizzy-haired, funny comedian who's made us laugh for more than 60 years, and at age 93 is still doing it. Hey, somebody call a casino, call a theater. Let's get Marty Allen here to tell some of those great jokes. What a wonderful guy. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944 for the next minute or so. Do you have something pertaining to Orson Bean or Marty Allen you would like to say? We're down to a minute here, 740-383-9944. Don't forget, tomorrow, Thursday, May the 28th, at 1:10 p.m., we'll be joined by legendary comedian Rip Taylor. A funny few days here. Mr. Confetti, May 28th, 2015, 1:10 p.m. here on WWGH Radio. Mr. Confetti, Rip Taylor. But for now, Scott Spears headed for the dugout. You're listening to WWGH Radio.